Okay, then we'll go ahead and call this meeting of the TRPA Operations and Governance Committee to order. The date is Wednesday, January 26, 2022, and the time is 8:30 a.m. First item on the agenda is the roll call to determine a quorum. Tracy?
Mr. Honigman?
You're on mute, Vince.
Yeah.
Thank you. Good morning. Mr. Hicks?
Here.
Mrs. Sagavsky?
Here.
Good morning, Barbara.
Ms. Gustafson?
Here.
Ms. Aldean?
Here. We have a quorum.
Thank you. We have a quorum.
Okay. We'll now review the meeting rules for the day. To observe and participate in the meeting, go to www.trpa.gov. Select January 26, 2022 Governing Board meeting on the calendar and follow the link to the webinar. Members of the public can find all meeting materials there as well. In order to participate in this Operations and Governance Committee meeting with your comments, please utilize the hand-raising function in the GoToWebinar platform at the appropriate agenda item. With your hand raised, you will be unmuted by TRPA staff and have 3 minutes to address the committee. If you have contacted the TRPA for reasonable accommodations and received a unique PIN for dial-in, please make sure you enter the PIN so that you may be identified and unmuted by TRPA staff. If you are using GoToWebinar's Instant Join app, please make sure it is open in the Google Chrome browser and that you allow access to your microphone in order to be unmuted. If you are joining via the call-in number posted on our website, please note this is listen only. If you wish to address the Operations and Governance Committee, you will need to log in via GoToWebinar on your computer, tablet, or smartphone, or dial your unique PIN number. To committee members, as usual, if you wish to speak, please alert me via the chat function. If you are online, or speak up if you are calling in, please set your chat box now to message panelists and organizers to ensure that I see your message. Remote board members may only use the chat function to indicate a desire to speak. This function must not be used to have sidebar conversations. Please remember to mute your mic unless speaking to cut down on background. And we have 4 of us on camera today, and Barbara is joining us by phone. All right, next item on the agenda is approval of the agenda. Chris, any changes?
No changes.
Okay, then we will deem the agenda approved as posted. We are now on agenda item number 2, which is the approval of the minutes. You have a set of minutes from the December 15th, 2021 meeting on page 9 of your packet. Does any member of the committee wish to make any changes? Okay.
This is Barbara Sagavsky, and I'll move for approval.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Barbara. We have a motion to approve. Tracy, will you please take the roll? Or we can do it by a voice vote. Let's just do it by a voice vote. All those in favor of approving the minutes from December 15th, 2021 meeting of the Operations and Governance Committee, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. All right, we'll move on to the next item, which is item number 3, which is a recommendation to approve the December financials. The information on this item can be found on page 51 of your packet. Chris?
Good morning. For the record, Chris Tyler, Finance Director for the agency. Could you give me the next chart, please? This is going to be kind of an abbreviated report this month, but it is kind of a no news, good news. But of course, if you have any questions, please feel free to ask them. The first two charts are similar. This one just shows the raw numbers on a year-to-date basis. The interesting part on this chart, you see those grants show very negative, but that's because we bill grants quarterly and after the fact. So my staff is very busy right now billing those grants, and that number will go positive when those grant invoices get in. Other than that, our planning fees continue to run strong. We're running well ahead of the 3-year average. We did budget this year at a higher number, so we're actually on track to make the budget. In fact, if we go to the next chart, this is a comparison to budget. You can see we're right about 50%. Now, this fees for service line here actually includes not only current planning revenue, but also AIS revenue and shoreline revenue, and both of those have significant seasonality involved with them because of the nature in which those revenues come in. But overall, current planning continues the high level they've been operating at for a couple of years now, showing the considerable activity going on in the basin at this point. On the expenditure side, we're pretty much right where we wanted to be in terms of compensation, and the contract stuff always does lag. For our long-term debt, we do have two large payments, one in early December, one in June, and we've made that first payment. We'll have another one after that back in another 5 months. Excuse me. Next chart, please. And here's our cash flow. It always peaks very early in the year when we get the state revenues in from California and Nevada. And then we spend it down over the balance of the year. So this chart will continue to run negative down to the end of the year, but it's pretty much just exactly where we want it to be. With that, I would be happy to take any questions anybody might have.
Okay, Chris, thank you. Are we fully staffed now? And is our new HR director here to be introduced to the committee members?
Our new HR director is on the line, and we can bring her in whenever you'd like. We're going to do that later in the meeting. We have two openings at the moment, a data modeling person, and we've just had a resignation from our front account, what used to be a front counter person, but basically who handles intake for the current planning department. So we're replacing those two positions now. And be gentle with Angela, our HR director. This is her third day with the agency. So
we'll be kind. We'll be kind. Would you like to introduce her now, Chris, when we're talking about
sure.
staff?
Catherine, if you can unmute her and promote her to a presenter. This is Angela Atchley. She comes to us actually from our insurance broker. Go ahead, Angela.
Good morning, Angela.
You're muted, Angela.
Good morning. My name is Angela Atchley. As Chris mentioned, and as you're aware, I was hired here at the TRPA to be the Director of Human Resources and Organizational Development. I have roughly 30 years of experience in human resources, working for a variety of different industries. I live in Reno, Nevada. I grew up in Lake Tahoe, up there on top of Kingsbury Grade, since the age of three, so I'm very familiar with Tahoe and the TRPA, and I'm very excited to be part of the organization.
Well, wonderful. Angela, I wish I could see your face, but you're off camera. Maybe we could, rearrange our lineup here, perhaps?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
Well, I can't see you. I don't know if the other members of the committee can see you. I can certainly hear you, and I see that your frame is a little off. It's being disguised here by my GoToWebinar session information. Well, Angela, listen, we're thankful to have you. We certainly didn't want such a key position to be vacant for long, and we're certainly glad that we could recruit locally, and we welcome you on board.
Thank you.
All right. We look forward to working with you in the future. All right. Thank you, Angela and Chris. So we have reviewed the December financials. Any questions regarding this information from members of the committee before we move to public comment?
This is Barbara Sagaski.
Yes, Barbara.
And sorry, I'm not online. I wanted to ask Chris if the financials are going to change much, if he has any anticipation of what's going to happen today with the federal government, and if he's concerned about, you know, like the rent going up, the percentages, anything on those lines.
We're not anticipating any immediate problems. Obviously, we're monitoring the situation closely, but we should be okay.
Okay, thank you. I just wanted to ask, but thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Barbara. I appreciate that. Any other comments or questions by members of the committee? Okay, seeing none, let's go to public comment on this item. If any member of the public wishes to address the committee on this agenda item, please raise your hand now and go to webinar to be unmuted by TRPA staff. Catherine?
Thank you, Madam Chair. There are no hands raised to comment on this item.
Okay, thank you. Then we will close public comment. If there are no additional concerns by members of the committee, I will entertain a motion to recommend approval to the governing board of the December financials. Is there a motion to that effect?
So moved.
Okay, thank you, Vince. We have a motion. Any discussion on the item? Seeing none, Tracy, will you please call the roll?
Ms. Sagoski?
Yes.
Ms. Gustafson?
Yes.
Mr. Honigman?
Yes.
Mr. Hicks?
Yes.
And Ms. Aldine?
Yes.
Madam Chair, that motion passes.
Thank you. All right, so that brings us to agenda item number 4, which is a recommendation to approve amendment number 2 of the FY 2021-22 Lake Tahoe Transportation Overall Work Program. Information on this item can be found on page 77 of your packet, and Michelle Glickert will handle this from staff. Michelle, good morning.
Good morning, Madam Chair and committee members. Michelle Glickert, for the record, TRPA Transportation Planning. Today, I'm seeking your recommendation of approval of amendment number 2 to the Tahoe Transportation Planning Overall Work Program. As a recipient of federal funds, we prepare our work program annually that identifies all the tasks and work products along with a specific budget. Preparation of this plan actually starts about now, so January to May, seeking our approval in May, which means that many of the revenue sources must be estimated based on anticipated carryover funding. Next slide. So this amendment is addressing the annual reconciliation of federal highways planning funds. The reconciliation is where we compare those actual balances with the OWP budget after the first quarter. This reconciliation resulted in a $320,000 discrepancy for FHWA planning funds. That's about a 15% reduction in our budget, all possible given our update to our indirect costs with our approved rate, which must also be estimated at the time of that OWP approval. The reconciliation is very typical, as I mentioned, at this time, albeit not usually this high. It did also give us an opportunity to refine our staffing budgets, again, estimated at the time of that original approval. As Chair Aldine mentioned, page 77 of your packet has all of those full details by work element. We've also posted a redline document on the TRPA Transportation Program page, and each work element was revised with new staffing budgets to reflect that reduced overhead rate. The remainder of the changes required us to move a few tasks around and phase some of the work to ensure there were no impacts to existing contracts or priority activities. Next slide. And with that, I'm keeping it short and sweet for you all. I'll be happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Okay, Michelle, thank you so much. Could you just, for anyone who might be listening, define indirect and direct costs as they apply to this budget?
I'm wondering if, Chris, do you want to jump in here? So through our financial team, we work closely with them to look at our overhead rates. And, I'm sorry, Ms. Aldine. You were asking about direct and indirect.
Correct.
I went right to the big change that we made. We have direct costs are staffing budgets and such. And indirect is actually kind of where we plan ahead and think about additional contracts we might want to undertake. For example, we do traffic counts, right? So we will plan ahead and kind of forecast some of those projects that we want to do in that year, considering consultants. We also have contracts with our 2 TMAs. And so those are those on the other side of the game, those indirect costs. And so
sorry, Shelley, what was the question?
Well, I just thought it might be helpful for everyone to have you define direct cost versus indirect cost as it applies to these reductions.
Let me pull up my, I want to make sure I'm not getting a little backwards here.
Let me try to explain. We try to recover our costs on grants.
The other way around.
Of an A&O rate, which is approved by a cognizant authority. What's happened here is our A&O rate is actually in decline. So we were able, because of that, to accommodate the other reductions in the budget without having to do any sort of staff reductions or anything like that. So
forgive me, I'm going to jump. I switched them around on you. Indirect is our staffing budget. Direct costs are those contracts and things that we are either under contract with or that we're, you know, preparing for. So, sorry, Shelley.
That was the advertising cooperative agreements with the TMA, that sort of thing.
Those sorts of things, yeah. So that was important for us. All of those agreements, right, that we had previously made, you know, but we did have to switch. Some of our projects had to be stretched out a little into next fiscal year.
Okay, all right. Does any member of the committee have any questions regarding Michelle's presentation and the proposed revisions? Okay. I don't see any, so we'll move on to public comment. Barbara, I'm sorry, did you have any questions regarding the presentation?
No, I did not, Shelley. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. So we'll now move on to public comment. If any member of the public wishes to address the committee on this agenda item, please raise your hand now and go to webinar to be unmuted by the PRPA staff. Catherine?
Thank you, Madam Chair. There are no hands raised to comment on this item.
Okay, thank you. So we'll go ahead and close public comment. And if there are no comments by members of the committee, I will entertain a motion to recommend governing board adoption of the attached resolution approving amendment number 2 of the 2021-22 TMPO award program as contained in attachment A.
Madam Chair, I'll make that motion.
Thank you, Cindy. We have a motion. Any comments on the question? All right. Tracy, will you please take the roll?
Mrs. Sagavsky?
Yes.
Mr. Honigman?
Yes.
Ms. Gustafson?
Yes.
Mr. Hicks?
Yes.
And Ms. Olding?
Yes.
Madam Chair, that motion passes.
Thank you, Tracy. So now we'll move on to the next item number 5, which is a recommendation to approve an amendment number 4 to the Tahoe Metropolitan Planning Organization's 2021 Federal Transportation Improvement Program. And this item can be found on page 87 of your packet, and it's a repeat. Michelle?
Yes, hello again. Good morning. Madam Chair, for the record, Michelle Glickert. This morning, staff is seeking your approval of the 2021 Federal Transportation Improvement Program, Amendment 4. We refer to that as our FTIP. Next slide. The FTIP is our short-term programming document that implements projects in our long-term regional transportation plan. The 2021 FTIP is a financially constrained four-year document for federal fiscal years 21 through 24. It includes transportation projects listed in the RTP that have received federal funds, are regionally significant, or require a federal action. The MPO's responsibility is to maintain and program funds in the FTIP. Once a project is programmed in the FTIP, it allows for that project implementer to move forward with the authorization of funds and to proceed with the work on the project. Throughout the FTIP four-year cycle, there may be revisions to existing projects or new projects that need programming into this document. The agency then notifies the MPO of these changes. An amendment is a revision to the FTIP that includes a major change, such as adding or deleting a project, increases in project costs that are greater than 50% of the total, or a revision to the scope of the project design. Next slide. Amendment 4 has two new projects. The first one is El Dorado County, purchase of a vacuum truck that's funded through congestion mitigation and air quality funds. Those were awarded through the TMPO's regional grant program, along with county funds and TRP operations and maintenance funds, totaling about $500,000. The new vehicle replaces an old, outdated truck. The new truck will meet air quality standards and compliance with California Air Resources Board. These trucks are used to clean and maintain water quality systems and maintain stormwater runoff, and the truck will also be used in post-Caldor fire recovery. The second project, through Nevada DOT, US 50 Safety and Hydraulic Improvements, totals $3.1 million, and it's funded through state funds, Nevada Gas Tax, and the National Highway Performance Program. Now, this project installed an infiltration basin along US 50 and new traffic signal at the intersection of Warrior Way with a pedestrian crossing facility at along on US 50. So it will improve safety for vehicular and pedestrian traffic at that intersection. Along with, this intersection tends to be very busy and dangerous at certain times of the year. It's a access street to the public school and beach parking on the other side during those summer, creating a significant pedestrian challenge. So the infiltration basin is located along the highway between Warrior Way and Tahoe Drive, and that will improve lake water clarity. Construction is slated to begin later this year once school is out and anticipated to be one season. However, as we know, that will depend on availability of materials. Next slide. Those are the two projects. So the public comment period for Amendment 4 began on December 21st and ended on January 5th, providing a two-week comment period. Noticing was publicized through the TRPA website and email blast, and we held a public hearing on January 5th at the Tahoe Transportation Commission board meeting. We received one email in support of the amendment and a comment also supporting at the public hearing. On January 5th, the TTC board unanimously recommended approval of Amendment 4 to the Tahoe Metropolitan Planning Organization, that's the TMPO for some of those new folks on the line, governing board. Next slide. So the next steps for the amendment will be seeking your approval today, and then we'll submit it to Caltrans and NDOT for state approval in February. And final approval will come from Federal Highways Administration mid to end of February. And so at this time, I will turn it back to you, Madam Chair, for questions and comments.
Okay, thank you, Michelle. Any questions or comments by members of the committee?
I actually have a question or comment.
Sure.
The timing where you had the public comment period, you know, was pretty inconvenient given the holidays. It just seems a little, it reminds me of the, I know it wasn't intentionally devious or underhanded, but reminds me of the devious and underhanded ways the past administration did things, you know, trying to keep public comments down. So I would just suggest at the holiday time, either add a week before or add a week after, just to make it more convenient for people, since that's kind of a difficult time.
Yes.
Especially half of the lake was buried and inaccessible at the time as well.
Yeah. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
I think that's a great comment, Vince. I noticed that too. I know this is a pretty routine item, but nonetheless, it sets a tone of how we do our notifications. So I think that's a really good point.
Okay, thank you. I have more of a kind of a technical question, Michelle, with respect to the US 50 safety and hydraulic improvement project. The infiltration basin, is that going to be subterranean? I mean, it's not going to be an open basin, I assume. And is it going to be located on the lakeside of the intersection?
That is my understanding, Ms. Aldine, but I would probably want to follow up with you and provide you a few more details on the specifics of that project.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, no worries. All right. Mm-hmm. Hey.
I believe it's, I just got confirmation. Thank you for Microsoft chat. lakeside on the U.S. Forest Service side from the fire station, so across the street.
So is it a large open basin or that will
I don't know that they're typically that designed that way. Minimal and only requires one tree removal.
And then just with the accommodated by drop inlets, I assume, so it won't become a hazard for anyone who happens to be using that property, or will it be fenced?
I'll certainly relay the comments I'm receiving today to the NDOT team to make sure. Yeah.
I appreciate that. Thank you, Michelle.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. If no other comments by members of the committee, we will go to public comment on this item. If any member of the public wishes to address the committee on this agenda item, please raise your hand now in GoToWebinar to be unmuted by TRPA staff. Tracy?
Madam Chair, this is Catherine. I'll help you with public comment on this item. Steve Teixeira, you unmute yourself, you can address the committee.
Good morning, Steve.
Morning, Madam Chair and members of the committee. Thank you, Catherine. Steve DeShera on behalf of both the Lake Tahoe South Shore Chamber of Commerce and the South Shore Transportation Management Association. This is a long overdue project. I'm speaking specifically on the NDOT project right now. We support both of the projects that are in this amendment. But the NDOT project has been delayed a couple times for right-of-way acquisition and things like that. But I recall a couple of years ago that a student at George Battelle High, which is up the street, Scott Harrison, came to a South Shore TMA meeting and pleaded with the SSTMA and also later with the Tahoe Transportation District to accelerate this. As often students are, you know, just learning to drive at the high school level and trying to come out from Warrior Way onto Highway 50 with people whizzing down the hill or whizzing up the hill, really a very serious safety issue. So finally embedded in this important project, which includes water quality improvements, is the traffic signal at Warrior Way and US 50. So it's a huge improvement, long overdue. I hope it does get to be constructed starting this year. But we strongly support both the items in the amendment number 4 before you, and certainly wanted to highlight the traffic signal at Warrior Way and US 50. The students, the parents, lots of people have been pleading for this for many, many years. And a tip of the hat to Devin Cartwright, who's been the project manager from NDOT, who's been a real internal champion at NDOT for this project. So thank you for your affirmative vote on amendment number 4.
Okay, Steve, thank you so much. Catherine, any other public comment?
Madam Chair, there are no other hands raised to comment on this item.
Okay, thank you. Then we will close public comment, bring it back to the committee. Any further comments from the committee? Okay, hearing none, I will entertain a motion to recommend to the Governing Board adoption of the resolution contained in Attachment A, which is Amendment Number 4 to the 2021 Federal Transportation Improvement Program. Don't be shy.
Madam Chair, I'll make that motion.
Okay, thanks, Cindy. All right, we have a motion. Any discussion on the question? All right. Tracy, will you please call the roll?
Ms. Gustafson?
Aye.
Mr. Hicks?
Aye.
Mrs. Sagavsky?
Yes.
Mr. Honigman?
Yes.
And Ms. Holding?
Yes.
Madam Chair, the motion passes.
All right. Thank you so much. All right. That brings us to item number 6, which is the quarterly treasurer's report. This item is information only. Chris, would you please lead us through this?
Sure. For the record, again, Chris Kyler, Finance Director. If I could have the next chart, please. The main thing that's going on right now is the transition of our investment advisory group from Wells Fargo to the Principal Group. If you recall, some years ago, Wells Fargo had some significant regulatory problems due to their questionable activities with some of their depositors. They are capped in terms of their assets by the Fed. So they've been sloughing off businesses that they did not feel were strategic to them. So they've sold this operation, which is primarily focused on investing retirement funds and things like that. But it does include the institutional investments. They sold that to the Principal Group. And basically our final transition will be next month. And we're already working on getting the access to it and things like that. The people that advise us will remain the same. Those people are moving over to the Principal Group along with the business itself. I will talk in just a minute on next chart about our total investment pool, but I thought it was a good idea to remind you of where all that money comes from. Most of it is not usable by us because we're holding it basically in trust for other people. So we have $16 million as our current balance, mitigation funds, another $6 million in securities. And we have some grant money that's in there as well, which is sort of locked down. The rest of that money is our reserves, working capital. As you can see from the early cash receipts from the states and running that down during the year, we usually have a pretty healthy balance at the beginning of the year, and then that declines towards the end of the year. If I could have the next chart, please. This kind of shows our pools in terms of the type of investments they're in and what the maturity is in. The maturities are obviously very short, which is a smart thing to do right now with interest rates climbing up. In terms of the type, The two pie segments on the left, the corporate and the U.S. government, together, those are the Wells Fargo, soon-to-be principal group pool. So it's about 35% of the total. What I'm calling investment pools there is really the California LAIF and the Nevada LGIP funds, which are local government investments on the part of the state treasurers. Those tend to be very short and very, very safe investments. If I could have the next chart, please. And then here's a comparison of yields and where we are with our Wells Fargo pool. I will say in the LAIF and LGIP pools, I will say that Wells Fargo negative is due to rising interest rates, which created a negative unrealized loss in the pool. But that is an unrealized loss. We intend to hold all those securities to maturity. As you can see from the earlier chart, they're short term. If you take away the unrealized loss, the actual return on that pool is closer to 1%. I did find an error in my calculation, so it's not 1.2%, but it's like 0.98% for the year. And that compares very favorably with LAIF and LGIP, and largely, I think, because of the maturities are a little bit longer. And that's all I had for this, unless anybody has any questions. This is information only, so it doesn't require a vote.
Okay, thank you, Chris. Any questions by members of the committee? Okay, apparently not. All right. In that case, we will move on to public comment on this item. If any member of the public wishes to address the committee on this agenda item, please raise your hand now and go to webinar to be unmuted by TRPA staff. Catherine?
Thank you, Madam Chair. There are no hands raised to make a comment on this item.
Okay, thank you so much. And again, this was informational only. So we will move on to upcoming topics, which is agenda number 6. And what do we have on our docket for next month?
Yes. I could have the next chart, please. The main thing is, I apologize, we were supposed to bring the audit earlier, but it keeps getting postponed. But we will bring that in February. The main issue has been the implementation of a new accounting standard called GASB 84. This relates to revenue recognition, and it impacts us in terms of how we show the mitigation funds that we hold that I was just talking about a minute ago. Everything else in the audit is done. They completed the audit part of the audit, but the final presentation of financial statements require resolving this. And just as a reminder, I mentioned this in the past, what GASB 84 will do is it will require us to show on the mitigation funds revenues when they come in and expenditures as we disperse them. I've been very concerned about this because there's a significant timing difference at TRPA in terms of when we collect the mitigation funds and when we disperse them. So there's no clear matching, and that portion of the financial statements is going to look very bizarre because we'll have years of positive revenue with no expenditures, and then all of a sudden a project will occur and we'll have a huge expenditure. And the exaggerated version I will use is CTC is working on a major acquisition. They've been accumulating excess coverage funds for a while to help fund that acquisition. So they're showing a real positive balance there in excess coverage mitigation funds. If that transaction goes forward, they're going to come to us and ask for $2 to $3 million in one fell swoop. So it's going to look weird. I think from a presentation standpoint, that will be separated out from our operating results. So you will still be able to look at results from operations in a more understandable manner and not get blown away by these weird surges, ups and downs that will come from the mitigation funds. This is a GASB standard, so we don't really have any choice. We have to follow this rule. But that's what's holding up the audit, and we'll talk about that more next month. Mark, our audit partner, will be in and will present to you the audit.
Okay, Chris, what was the rationale behind this change? Do you know? Not that regulations have any rationale, but...
I'm not positive. For several years, FASB has been working on updating revenue recognition rules for private industry. And I think this is an offshoot of that, where GASB is following FASB, if I can get all your acronyms straight. I actually know what those acronyms mean, by the way.
you need to get out more, Chris.
So they're looking at things where they believe the different entities are not fully reporting the economic activities that they're responsible for, put it that way. The primary rule for requiring us to show these as revenues is being driven by a requirement that if we set the fee, then we have to show it as revenue. And in all these mitigation funds, we do in fact set the fee. So, but I think this is a fallout of that revenue recognition and trying to get different entities to report all the ins and outs.
Can you report it as anticipated revenue? I mean, so you don't have this great disparity with respect to timing?
Nope, it will be revenue. So many years we will have a huge surplus. And then, like I said, one transaction and we have a huge negative.
Okay.
So I will be coaching you. Don't take this too seriously.
Okay. All right.
You will actually see it because all these mitigation fund releases, of course, come through this committee. So you will see them in real time. You'll be approving them. But
okay. We'll look forward to that presentation.
I'm not.
So we have the audit, obviously, coming to us hopefully next month. A report on building improvement progress. Is that also going to be on the agenda?
I usually try to keep the audit governing ops committee member clean, just so that you can spend as much time on that as you would like. But yeah, pretty soon. We're kind of in a stall right now because of weather. Obviously, we can't do anything on the roof or anything like that. We got most of the equipment in for the electric vehicle charging stations, and then we got a dump of snow. So we have EV charging stations. They're sitting in the hallway outside the governing board room waiting to be installed.
Okay. How about the IT software update? And you had some budget adjustments, I thought, that you were going to be bringing forward.
I'm sorry, you're talking about the office, the internal remodeling?
No, the IT software. Update.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we're still in the process of looking at what's available out there in terms of bidders.
Okay.
In terms of software that's available, we're narrowing the search down. I think it's down to about two potential vendors right now, and we'll finalize that pretty soon and bring that forward.
And then you had a couple of minor budget adjustments that you were going to bring forward?
No, I'm just giving you a heads up. It's time to start thinking about next year's budget.
Okay.
So I'll probably follow the usual standard where we come in May with kind of a preliminary and then June with the final. But there are some issues that we need to think about. The Nevada side, of course, is the second year of the biennium. So that budget's fixed on the Nevada side. On the California side, I'm sorry, we don't really have any budget adjustments in at this point. My concern here is with inflation. Now that inflation is raising its ugly head, our state revenues are fixed and don't automatically escalate with inflation, whereas many of our costs, personnel and a lot of our contracts, like the big contracts with the universities, have escalation clauses in them. So I'm a little concerned that we're going to get squeezed on inflation.
Okay, thank you, Chris. Any comments or questions by members of the committee before we move on to item number 8? We'll take public comment before we do that, obviously, on this item, but any other comments by the committee? Okay, then we will move on to public comment. Any member of the public wishing to address the committee on this agenda item, please raise your hand now and go to the webinar to be unmuted by TRPA staff. Catherine?
Madam Chair, there are no hands raised to comment on this item.
Okay, thank you. Then we'll go ahead and close public comment and move on to item 8, which is agenda item number 7, committee member comments. Any member of the committee have any comments to share with us before we depart? Okay, seeing none. Barbara, do you have any comments to share?
I have none, Madam Chair, and I thank you very much for including me. Thank you.
You bet. And I try hard not to forget you. Of course, you're kind of unforgettable, so that's an easy task for me.
Thank you.
Then we will move on to our last public comment period. If any member of the public wishes to address the committee on this agenda item, please raise your hand now and go to webinar to be unmuted by TRPA staff. Catherine?
Madam Chair, there are no hands raised to comment on this item.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much. Then I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Move for adjournment.
All right, thank you. All those in favor say aye.
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 All right, we are adjourned. And for those who may be